ShadowcastAudio.com presents The Masters of Horror, the anthology. Welcome to a world hidden behind the blinds of reality, a landscape waiting to be molded into a thing of pain and torture. This anthology is not for the faint-hearted. The ideas, themes, and disturbing images portrayed within will send your brain into overdrive on the road to madness. This book is guaranteed to rob you of sleep at night and bring you the nightmares you've most feared. You've been warned. By day, Karen Johnson Mead is a housewife, proofreader, friend, and contract loss adjuster. By night, she's a writer of tales. She lives in rural South Island, New Zealand with her husband, son, and occasionally her stepson. She's been writing for a couple of years, but only this year has decided to concentrate on her short stories, mostly in the horror genre, to her consternation. You can find out more about her at katherinemead.wordpress.com. And without further ado, here is One Day by Karen Johnson Mead, read by CT Theme.
Marion James hated his name, always had. His mother had been a big fan of Westerns, in particular John Wayne. She could have called him John, but no, she had a boy named Sue complex, so lumbered him with a name he loathed. And unlike the Sue in the song, it had not made him tough or strong or a fighter. Instead, he had grown to hate it, and her too. His birth name was just another thing to add to the catalog of things he hated about her. He had kept himself hidden away, shunning all social connections, avoiding people as much as possible. At school, he was the nerdy misfit, the one everyone else laughed at. Until now. Now, because he was legally able to, he had changed his name and called himself Te Tau, the warrior. He felt and hunted like a warrior, the name inspired in him and in his chest puffed out with mana and pride. It was only now that he felt strong, courageous, manly, especially as he stared at the blood-stained blonde on the floor under him. The brunette was still in the garage. She hadn't made it into the house, but her screams had alerted the others. Not that it bothered him. He had discreetly barricaded the front door so the neighbors wouldn't see. There was no escape through that entrance. The windows, well, he allowed himself a smile. The girls were safety conscious and had latches on all of them. Ironic, really, that the safety they craved would make them captives within their own home. He watched as the viscous liquid oozed down the wall in a slow sweep to the ground. It made a satisfying plop as a part of it landed on the barely carpeted floor. He heard a succession of drips as the same blood trickled slowly from the knife he was holding. He twisted it to see how much blood was on it, glinting as it caught the failing light from outside. He haphazardly wiped the blade across the front of his t-shirt before he went in search of his next victim. Te Tau loved the scent of death, which closed in around him in the narrow hallway. Blood had a smell that others described as coppery. He just thought it smelt like blood, thick, red, and dark. The smell made his heart pound as he looked down the hallway, stepping over the blonde lying there, her eyes pleading with him as she held out her hand. The other held her stomach, where he had slashed her. The desperation in her actions made him shake his head. He had just cut her several times with a knife. What made her think he would feel any remorse and try to help her now? He wanted to laugh, but he sneered instead as he stepped over her prone figure. A failing sob escaped her weakening body. There was enough blood loss that she would die soon enough. He wasn't a slash-em-until-they're-dead kind of person. He didn't want to watch them die. He was more interested in the artistry of the blood patterns, the splatters, the droplets, the cast-off. The way it ran down the walls, trailing over the ceilings, cascading through the air. This was his art, not what he did to their bodies. It was how the blood splattered the walls, ceilings, and floor that interested him. Some days he liked lots of blood, other days he was into the minimalist effect. Today, after the day he had had in the arguments with his mother, it was a bucket of blood kind of day. He needed the blood to keep his focus away from what he really wanted to do, something he wasn't capable of doing. But one day, he crept silently down the hallway, amazed at how much noise a dying person could make in such a still atmosphere. The air was closed and stuffy, the smell of blood and sweat lingered in the air, but the rasping, labored breaths of the blonde in the hallway was starting to unsettle his nerves. It sounded so loud that he thought the neighbors would be able to hear. He needed to keep calm, quiet, and confident. He stopped, took a deep cleansing breath, and allowed his shoulders to drop down. Relaxed, he paused at the nearest doorway and quietly poked his head around the door jamb. There were three girls in the house tonight. It's not that he had cased the joint or anything. He had just been here countless times before. He knew the layout of this place like the back of his hands. Hell, he reckoned he could have done this job blindfold. The room was a bedroom, and quickly and quietly he slunk into it. There were lots of hiding places in bedrooms, under the bed, where dust bunnies had gathered around a forgotten slipper and a food wrapper. In the wardrobe, although this was barely big enough for the clothes as the door was partially ajar and was crammed full of sickly, sweet-smelling jackets, dresses, and jeans. There were no legs quivering or crouching person hiding in the back of the wardrobe. There was a desk in the room, but he couldn't see anyone under there. Back in the hallway, the next doorway was directly opposite the bedroom. It was the bathroom. He heard a bang, and he froze in place. Listening intently, he heard the wind stirring outside, but that wasn't what he had heard. Gently sniffing the air, it didn't smell male or threatening, just more sickly sweet smell, the smell of stale perfume, cigarette smoke, and fresh blood. He was methodical and patient. Darkness was starting to settle in outside. An eerie light filled the hallway walls where they were interspersed with windows, allowing the orange glow of the street lights into the house, shifting wildly on the walls as it passed through the wind-gusted trees. The bathroom was small and clean-smelling. He wrinkled his nose. It stunk of bleach. He hated the smell of bleach. His mother used bleach to clean things. His nostrils flared as he used the reflected orange glow to case out the room. There was no cowering shadow through the frosted glass of the shower. The bathtub was empty, too. The window was open, but not wide enough for a girl, no matter how skinny, to escape through. He allowed the knife to drop down as he considered the house. He had already been through two bedrooms, the hallway and the bathroom. There was only one bedroom and lounge left. Perhaps the noise he had heard was someone trying to open the front door. Again he allowed himself to smile and felt a small sense of satisfaction. This time he would get her, hiding in the kitchen, cowering behind her apron. The vision of the black-haired girl blurred with that of his mother. He shook his head to clear the image, focusing instead of clearing the rest of the house. His fun would come. The hallway turned sharply left, and he lifted the knife, his trusty friend, holding it at chest height, ready to thrust out if he needed to. He slowly put his head around the corner, his eyes flitting around the large open plan room. There were no signs of life, so he casually sauntered through the last remaining stretch of hallway to a large open plan room containing the lounge, kitchen, dining, entranceway. Definitely no sign of anyone in there, but he walked the perimeter anyway, just to be sure. The lounge, being away from the street, wasn't as well lit, but one of the girls had thoughtfully left a mood light on in the corner of the lounge. It didn't illuminate much, but it proved enough light for him to see that no one was hiding in the kitchen behind the benchtop counter, behind the couch, the television, the large wall unit, or the chairs on the opposite wall. The shadows were still. Everything in the lounge was still. The quietness told him no one was there, but he was thorough. He had to make sure every nook and cranny was covered. He looked at his watch and felt the anger rise within him. He knew his mother would be calling him soon for dinner. He punctually made dinner for 7 p.m. every night, not a minute before, not a minute after. He took a deep breath, forcing himself to stay calm. Getting upset now would only ruin things. This was the one he was after, the black-haired girl. He had better hurry if he wanted to finish this. He passed back across the lounge to a small bedroom leading off it. It was probably originally a study, but the girls had changed it into a bedroom, a very small bedroom. A single bed was crammed underneath the window. The room was dark, very dark, but a silhouette fell across the doorway as he entered the room. He held his breath. This room also smelled of cheap perfume and the faint odor of cigarettes. This one didn't smoke, but her flatmates did, and unfortunately the smell had invaded her room. He could also smell something else. He breathed in deeply. Yes. He smiled as he knew he had her cornered. Pay dirt. She was in the room. He could smell her fear, urine, intermingled with sweat. Kneeling down, he crawled towards the bed. He knew she was here because a corner of the old-fashioned bedspread was tucked under the bed. Someone had gone under it. He knew it was her. He gently pulled the spread out of the way and heard her whimper. "Please," she whispered into the darkness. He smiled at her, although he knew she couldn't see it. He swept the underneath of the bed with his knife and heard her try and pull back. The knife slashed further under the bed, like the cane of a blind person trying to find the edge of the curb. The knife hit an obstacle, and he heard a sharp intake of breath, but she didn't scream or cry out. "No, please leave me alone," he could hear the tears in her words, the terror and the pain. He reached under the bed with his free hand and grasped hold of what he presumed to be her wrist. She tried to pull it back, but he had a firm grip and wasn't going to let go. He felt her mouth wrap around his fingers and knew she was going to bite. He pulled hard and fast. She cried out as the nylon carpet burnt her arms and bare legs. He took the opportunity to move. Keeping a hold of her in his iron grip, he climbed into a crouching position, straddling her body. She reached an arm up to cover her face, ready to fight off the blade as it swooped down onto her. He caught the upper part of her arm and felt the blade bite into the bone. He mentally blocked out her scream, something he had successfully managed to do on his other missions. He dislodged the knife and swung his arm up, determined to get the knife into her chest. She pushed against him with her legs, the pulse in her wrist indicating to him that the adrenaline was kicking in and he would need to act fast or she would batter him before he could finish the job. Her black hair was glossy as it lay across the floor, highlighted by the weak light from the lounge. She looked like a wild animal as her head thrashed from side to side in blind panic. His mother's face transfigured onto the girl's pretty features, and deep down he felt the rage increase along with an urgent desire to pummel her face in. But in a flash, his mother's image was gone, and the girl realized that he was looking at her and calmed down at once, perhaps thinking that he would stop. She was wrong. The knife curved down, as if in a slow motion. He aimed it straight for her heart. Her foot came up, narrowly missing his hand, but pushing his wrist, making the stab into her chest deflect off her ribs, and he jarringly felt the knife hit the floor. Quicker than she could have imagined, he pulled the point out of the floor and raised the knife again, anger starting to seep in and fuel his own adrenaline. His vision was filling with white and red. That wasn't a good sign. "It isn't the kill. It isn't the kill. It isn't the kill," he repeated his mantra over and over in his head, trying to quell the rising rage within him. The next downward motion found its mark. He heard the sternum crunch under his weight, and he threw himself into the motion, landing heavily on top of her. The scream and air rushed from her lungs, and although he couldn't see her, the bubbling, gurgling noise indicated that the blood was coming up through her throat. She was already dead. Damn. He had spoiled his artistry. This was the one, the black-haired goth girl with pale skin. He had wanted to see her all covered in splashes of the brilliant red. Instead, he was spread-eagled over her body, his own clothes absorbing the blood. Damn. "Marion! Are you playing that damned game again? Marion, it's time for dinner," he heard his mother call. He sighed angrily. Why did she always interfere at the wrong times? Why couldn't they have dinner at 7:30 instead? Angry with himself for destroying his own canvas, he considered, for the umpteenth time, using his skills to kill his mother. For real. Anger bubbled up inside him. It was her fault he had rushed things with this girl. If he had had the time, he would have been able to finish the job and actually get to admire the workmanship, the skill required with the knife that others achieved with a brush. He sighed and pushed himself up off the floor. He had already spoiled this scene. At least he knew for next time how he would do it. He clicked the button on the side of the virtual helmet, and the helmet disengaged. He shed the visual suit he was wearing and removed the smell sensors. Pity it was only a computer game, but the training it was giving him. One day, he would perfect his killing skills enough to kill her, the black-haired woman in the kitchen, his own mother. One day.
This has been a presentation of ShadowcastAudio.com and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Copy it, share it, pimp it all you want. Just don't try to sell it or change it. We keep this going through you, the listener. For the duration of the Masters of Horror podcast, all who make donations to ShadowcastAudio.com will receive an ebook copy of the Masters of Horror. Just specify which format you would like. In addition, you'll also be entered to win a print version signed by myself, which will be given away at the end of the last episode. The music for the podcast is an original piece done specifically for the Masters of Horror by Christopher Carlson. Find more great selections at ChristopherCarlson.com. Thanks for listening.